Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
I've wrestled with this a little bit this morning. I wrestled with it at 5 a.m. when I got up, and I sat there and I thought, Lord, you know what do you want to speak to us this morning about? And it's not the easiest topic in the world. It's not the easiest place to kind of start, but I'll start here and we'll see how we unpack it. But I really want you to take the meat and leave the bones. Some things I say is my revelation. But in order for anything to become your revelation, it has to be dwelt on more than once. Today, you'll probably remember 10% about what I say if you're really plugged in. If you write it down, you may go a little bit further. But the reason we have a podcast is that you can go away and listen to it again so you can meditate on. Not levitate, meditate, okay? I don't want to get these pictures on Facebook of everybody halfway up in the wall, you know, because that ain't going to happen. But meditate. You know what meditate is? It's to go over it all the time, to think on it. If I asked you how many of you worry, just raise your hands and be honest with me this morning. Awesome. Can I tell you what? You're meditating. You're meditating on things that are not bringing life. They're actually bringing a robbing of your time and a robbing of your destiny and a robbing of your future, because the Bible says, don't worry. Ooh, imagine being in that place that you don't have to worry. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'd love to be in that place. Every moment of the day when a situation arises and you think, I'm not going to worry about it. In all things, I'm just going to pray. And then as I pray, the Lord is going to take it from me, and I'm going to become as light as air, and I'm going to float the rest of the day. And when I lay my head on my pillow, I'm going to fall asleep. All those put up their hand is exactly how that works this morning. Jesus, do you know what? It can happen though. But the Bible calls us to meditate. It is one of the things of renewing your mind, of switching your thought patterns from here to here. Even with the things of the Word. We throw thoughts out. We talk about things of God, you know. Some of them are fundamental beliefs. Other of them are different revelation we have. Different revelation of the places we're at. But I want to touch on this morning. I want to touch on the fact that we all worship something. And he said to me, Heath, hang on a second. Whoa, I don't worship anything. In fact, I don't want to know God. I don't want to know about a God. I don't want anything. No, I'm not talking about just worshiping God. Every one of us in this place will worship something or someone. Think about it just for a moment. You do. And generally, it's where your money and your time go, where your resource goes. You worship that. You give it everything. It could be your spouse. It could be your kids. It could be your family. It could be your job. It could be the fact that you got to get on holiday. It could be that new car. It could be a whatever. But we all worship something or someone. There is something that takes first place in our lives. We because it's the word worship, we think, well, no, hang on a second. That's not correct. When people go to rock concerts and their hands are raised singing to Bono or whoever they're singing to, and they're screaming out, it's an act of worship. But when we stand in church, sometimes we think, let's be reverent. But actually, what's the difference? Glastonbury will be packed. Is it this year? This year. I didn't know if we'd gone past it yet. You can see how much of a rock man I am. But Glastonbury will be packed with stage upon stage of thousands upon thousands looking with admiration as Chris Martin sings and then dives into the crowd and everybody gets to touch a little bit of him. Oh, I just want to touch him. Why the heck do you want to touch a sweaty guy? You know? Yeah, he's gifted. But there's not suddenly going to be this impartation and you're going to jump on the stage and go, now I am Chris Martin. Let me sing to you. But there's an admiration, there's a worship for something like that. Sometimes I want to worship somebody that's further down the road than us. If I could just be like them. No, you don't want to be like them. You might want to gain some of what they have in terms of wisdom. But please be you, because a poor copy of you is not a good thing. You are called to be an original. Poor copies don't do well. We walk in the high schools across this place and you just see poor copies of everybody. Oh, if I could just grow my hair like this, and if I could just walk like this, and if I could just have black Nike trainers, and if I could just, then I would be. No, you won't be. Because you will still go home with something missing in your heart, because God has not called you to be something else. He's called you to be you. And the greatest destiny that you can live and the greatest life you can live is you being you. Amen? Give the person next to you a high five if you really like it. Oh, but it is. Even the church is classic for turning people into clones. All dressed like this, look like this, walk like this, come in like this, stand like this. I don't see any of that in my Bible. God says, I created you unique. I created you to be you. I created you with gifting and talent. I created you to be a part of the body. And when parts of the body come together, oh, it operates in a fullness. If we're all a bunch of ears, it's just not going to work, is it? It isn't going to work. You think, well, that's really logical. Yeah, but why do we not get it? Why do we keep trying to be something we're not called to be? Well, how do I know what I want to be? I don't know. Get before God and ask Him, because He created you. I am not your maker. You know, that's a lot of pressure for a church leader. Tell me what I got to do. I don't know. Yeah, but you should know. Why should I know? I got my own stuff going on here. I'm trying to figure out my own life. I got a wife and three kids. I'm working out of that. You know, come on. And you're sitting there thinking, yeah, but you should know, if I come to the church and ask the pastor and he tells me, sweep the floor, then that is me. I'm called to, oh my God, you know. No. There is gifting in here and character and talents and callings that are yet to be released. We are not here to control. We're here to complete one another, not compete with one another. Amen. This is not all, let's all look like the same duck in a row. No, let the ducks quack. And let there be a bit of a mess, you know, and throw bread at them. And anyway, we won't go down that, because I had a bad incident with ducks once. But we're just not going to go there. You know, I just want to thank you as well as a church. This week we were able to give a family with over 20 people living in one home food into their home and a refrigerator, because they don't have one. So I want to thank you for being able to do that this week. And that's absolutely fantastic, where people can ring and say, we need a fridge. And then Graham goes out and finds a fridge. And then Chris goes to pay for it, say, can you deliver it? And they've already done it. That's awesome, isn't it? But they've already delivered. And that family had a fridge, and they didn't have to throw away other food, because for some of us, that's like, oh, we got a fridge. But we forget those things. Yeah. But worship, we all worship something. For those of us who've been in the church for a little while or a longer while, a worship is not this slow song that maybe the choir sings or the worship team. Worship is not the amount you place in the offering basket. Well, I gave today, Jesus. Look at me. It's not. Worship is not even volunteering and being part of the team that operates this on a Sunday or actually goes out in the week or goes to school. That's not worship. That's a result of actually where your heart is. Worship is not an act of just doing something. Let's not make it so minimal. Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. All. Extravagant love and extreme submission. You cannot submit to something you agree with. Submission is not submitting to something you agree with. When we say, I submit, it's actually, do you know what? I can't quite work this out. I'm not quite understanding this thing. But God, I know what you're saying, and I know what you're calling. It doesn't quite fit with my reasoning, but I'm going to go with it because you're God and I'm not. Yeah, but God, it needs to line up with everything, all my theology, all my questions. You need to tell me why bad things happen to good people. He doesn't have to. He's God. And He can do what He wants, when He wants, and how He wants, because our lives are not 75 years, our lives are eternity. We got to shift our thinking. Our thinking is not for but a moment, but it is for eternity. We get to dwell on this planet like this for however many years we get to, by God's grace. But once this is done, we live for eternity. And so He thinks so differently to us. Somebody said, can you grasp the mind of God? No, of course I can't. It's impossible. Even if we get the greatest church minds here in the world, we get the best Ephesians 4 gifting, we get the most charismatic, we get the most studied, and we all sit in a room, we will still have no idea of truly of who God is. We won't, because we're not that clever. And our ways are so simple compared to God's, in the fact that actually the genius of God is actually He's really simple. He loves you. Sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And He thinks you're incredible. And He created you. And He wants to bring you affirmation and identity. He wants to release a father's heart over you this morning. There's people sitting in this room this morning that have been burnt and bruised because of a lack of a father in their life. And your identity has been robbed. Do you know fathers bring identity? Men, you bring identity. You bring identity. You bring affirmation to people. The Father this morning wants to bring affirmation and identity to some of you this morning. He wants to remind you of who you are, not who you think you are. Well, I'm not good enough. No, well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what your Creator says. He says you're excellent. Well, I'm not worth anything. No, He says you are worth everything. Well, I don't have a destiny in the future. He says, I've got everything for you. I have a destiny. I have a future. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I want you to flourish. Yeah, but I don't. You kind of run out of the butts because He's like, no. I took my time in creating you and knitting you together. And you know, even if you reject me, I'm still your Creator. I still am. That is the reality of the situation. I spoke to a guy the other week. He said, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. No, you didn't, but He did. And He had to. He had to. But we all worship something. Often we relate worship as acts. It's not acts. That's just an expression. Worship is not an event. It's a lifestyle. What's your go-to move? My go-to move. You know? I used to have a go-to move in football. When I had the ball and I knew I was in trouble, I'd have something that I would do every time. You know, when I was a little kid, I'd go like this, to the opposition, trying to scare them. I'm like, what's that got to do with football? But that was my go-to move. But I had a go-to move. When you're in a tough situation, what's your go-to move on a daily basis? Is it, I'm going to pray? Is it, I'm going to call somebody, just get them to stand with me? Is it, I'm going to flick on the worship? Often in our home, I go upstairs and we've been doing breakfast and hanging out, and I go up and guaranteed pretty much every morning there's worship music going on upstairs. Leah's got it on in the bedroom and it's just flowing. And I can go up sometimes with a determination. We have got to do this and we have got to do that and we've got to. And you walk in and the atmosphere just changes as you walk into this worship music. And so instead of saying, come on, I'm like, could we please leave the house a little later? I don't always get it right at all. But it's interesting how music shifts the atmosphere. It shifts the atmosphere. If I played you a piece of absolute rock and roll, you know, all those over the age of 45 will probably get up and start headbanging in this place. You will probably start to jive. You will pull out the platforms from your car and say, let's get it on again. Yeah, look at all of you saying, now I won't. Yeah, of course you won't. But we can shift the atmosphere with the music that we play and the sounds that we listen to. Absolutely. Why do you think we play music in church? Because we want to stir what's inside of us. We want to stir the deepness of it. There's something that stirs within me. God's the creator of our music. But worship is not an event, but a lifestyle. I got a couple of scriptures. Matthew 15. And we're going to jump through some verses. Verse 8 to 14, and then we will do 17 and 18. This is Jesus speaking to these guys, the Pharisees. He said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you know how many times I've honored somebody with my lips, but my heart is not truly there? I will speak it in this environment about Jesus because it's safe. But in other times, I will dishonor in another environment. He goes on to say, in vain do they worship me. Do you know what in vain means? It means nothing. They stand there in the church and they worship me, so-called honoring me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near me. Their hearts are not turned towards me. And we can stand and say things, and it's good to declare things out of our lips. The Bible says the power of life and death is in your tongue. So as you declare out your lips, you can fashion things. God said, let there be light. He created the world with His voice. This is what He used. But often, sometimes, we're honoring God. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And in our hearts, I can't see your heart. God can, though. And you know what God wants? He doesn't want my extravagant hands up. He doesn't want my cool hopping in church, you know, like, and this like cool church dance that we kind of do, some of us, you know. He doesn't, he loves that, but you know what he really wants? He wants our hearts. He says, can I have your heart? Because when your heart is touched, your life opens. When you see a family sitting in a house with 20 people, 18 of them are children under the age of 16. And you walk in there and you see there's food that is just being chucked on the side because there's no refrigerator. When you see that the kids have got clothes that they've probably worn for weeks and weeks, your heart is touched. And what happens when your heart touched? You have to respond. And you respond in a way based on probably past circumstance, how you see situations. But I know my heart responds, we got to do something about this. What are we going to do? Why? Because my heart was touched. You don't have to convince somebody to give whose heart's touched. You don't have to convince somebody to worship whose heart is touched. And God asks us this morning, say, can I have access to your heart? That's what I want. I want your heart. Because otherwise, our words and that, as great as they are, they become vain and in vain. Look at me, God. Here I am. I can stand and worship you in this place this morning. But it's not in the public place, it's in the private moments. It's in the private moments. It goes on to say, in vain do they worship me, verse 9, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In another version it says, teaching nothing but man-made rituals. Their fear at this point was more of the commandment of men, which was being taught, than anything that God was revealing to the heart. Let's do this because man says, let's do this. This is how we do it, baby. It's not. How do you worship this morning corporately? It's different. You know? Some ways we kind of fashion a little bit because there's rows. I don't particularly like rows, but I haven't figured out another way, really. I think we all sit in rows. But probably if we had no chairs, we'd all sit around the edge. You ever seen that before? You know, nobody would want to stand at the front together. The rituals of men. Well, you need to turn on your CD 3 times a day and sing 3 songs. Or it's a why? Because I do it? What is it for you? What is not the ritual of men, but actually the response of your heart to a God that says, I love you. And in any moment, standing in Tesco, walking down the aisle, picking up your baked beans, you're like, thank you, Jesus, for Heinz baked beans. You know, there's moments of worship all the time. There's moments of adoration all the time. How do I know that? Because we all worship something. And when you stop yourself, when you catch yourself thinking, you realize, wow, this is what I'm giving my time to. This is what I'm giving my thought life to. In verse 10, it says, and he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of his mouth, this defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, hang on, Jesus. Do you know that the Pharisees, they're offended by what you're saying? They're offended by the fact that you're saying their worship is in vain. Jesus does that. He offends sometimes with the words he says. Do you know why? Not because he wants to cut you down, but actually he wants to reposition and redirect you. Because he knows where he needs your heart. Because he knows where your place of flourishing is. You see, when our hearts open and we begin to flourish, other people step into our lives and they flourish. People flourish in your flourishness, if that's even a word. They come alive in the place where you come alive. Have you ever noticed that when you're miserable and people come into your presence, you know, unless they're really strong and they really think, I'm going to redirect this, we create a whole miserable environment. Yeah. Just think, I don't want to be here. But actually, when we bring something and it comes and it touches our hearts and we begin to flourish, other people walk into our presence and they become alive in there. It just happens. Have you ever been in somebody's presence that you just think, you know, we were talking about Elsie this morning. She brings joy. You just come into her presence. I think it's also because her mother is like that as well, joy. Joy brings joy. When I walk into Richard and Joy's house and I come into their place and joy meets me, you know, you can't but help smile. You can't but help think, whoa, this is going to be a great moment. And I'm probably going to get an awesome sandwich at the end of it as well. And a good coffee. But you can't, it's something happens. Why? Because she carries it. Because her heart has not been touched. It's not just her name, it dwells in her. It's not just, oh, this is a good idea, let's call her Joy. No, it's actually who is in her, Jesus. In verse 17, it says, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? We won't dwell too much on that verse because we understand that process, you know. But what comes out of the mouth, some of you are catching up there. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Proceeds from our heart and defiles a person. What that word actually means there, it doesn't mean it robs you and puts you down, but it explains where we truly are. This is where I am because this is what's coming out of my mouth. It reveals my heart. The revelation of my heart is seen through the words of my lips and the actions of my life. I can declare something on Sunday, but I got to walk this thing out on Monday to Saturday. I got to walk it out. Difference between an external expression and an internal transformation. God does not come, our God we serve, Jesus, he does not come with 10 steps to getting to heaven. He comes with, I want relationship, because it's internal transformation. When you met that person that you fell in love with or that friend, they didn't give you 10 steps. They touched your heart, which shifted your behavior. It shifted your life. You did things differently for them, didn't you? You used to stay up all night and talk and buy them flowers and dream and all these different things and laugh and joke. And you know, your thoughts change and your ideas change. Why? Because your heart was touched. And when something touches your heart, it changes you. We're trying to correct behavior sometimes without touching hearts. Trying to focus on 10 steps to a better person. Now let's talk about our identity and who we are. I'm going to bring this to a close in a moment. So the question rises, what is this inner, authentic, Godward experience of the heart? What is the essence of our worship? John 4, verse 22 to 24 says this. You worship what you do not know. This is Jesus talking to a lady. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such a people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This morning, God wants to bring truth, and he wants you to allow the Holy Spirit to transform your heart, to come to a new place of revelation, so we can worship him in the trueness and the fullness of who he is. The trueness and the fullness of the is. This lady talking to Jesus, she was more concerned about where we worship instead of who we worship. God is spirit, it says there. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, and we have Jesus, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out, the Bible says, at Pentecost, over 2,000 years ago. Said they didn't really understand the disciples fully, and then the Holy Spirit came. Have you ever, for those of you who know your Bible, and if you don't, you can go home and read this. We have Peter in one moment who denies Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to deny me 3 times. He said, I'll never deny you. And he denies Jesus, and they say, do you know Jesus? He said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Bear in mind, this is the guy that Jesus said, I'm going to build a church on you, buddy. You're thinking, this is not a good start. You know, qualifications, not good. Previous to that, he just chopped somebody's ear off. That's not good either. You know, previous to that, he was a bit of a rebel. That's not great either. It's interesting. Jesus didn't pick perfection, didn't he? He didn't go down the Bible school and say, let's pick the best 12. He said, no, let's pick Peter. He's crazy. He cuts people's ears off. He causes trouble. He says things like, just spouts them out. On you, buddy, I'm going to build my church. You see, Jesus always talked to his identity and who he was. Sometimes we're trying to address too much behavior. Talk to the identity. This is who you are. Week after week, we go into high schools. And week after week, we see kids sat in front of tables like this. Why are you in there? Why are you looking at these 3 walls and writing down notes? Because I was bad. How long have you been in here? Oh, probably 10, 12 weeks, probably the whole term. Has this changed your behavior? No. What are we doing? We're trying to make them write lines and look at 3 blank walls in order to change your behavior, and it ain't working. address their identity, speak into who they truly are, speak life over them, draw the gold out of people, find the goodness in people. But Peter's there, denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus then dies and he rises again. Oh, what a moment. And he says, listen, boys. Listen, it's not time quite yet, but I want you to go hang out in this upper room and I want you to wait. I want you to wait. Just wait for a moment. What are we waiting for? I'm going to go to heaven, but what I'm going to send is the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And he's going to come upon you. And you're going to have power to be witnesses for me in this place, Jerusalem, in Judea a little bit further, in Samaria a little bit further, and to the ends of the earth. Peter must have at that moment thinking, okay, I remember I was Peter a little bit arrogant. I've had a bit of a battering because I denied Jesus. Jesus said, come on, Peter. I'm still building my church on you. This hasn't changed. Do you know what Jesus created you with when he formed you in your mother's womb or before the beginning of time? He still believes he will bring to completion in your life. I want that to drop for you in the moment. What he created you for and what he destined you in your life and what he gifted you to do, I don't care how many mess ups you've done. He still believes that he can bring to completion that what he created in you. So you think you're done? You're never done. You think there's no way back? There's always a way back. You think you're so far gone? There's always time. He can knock you off the road that you walked down just like he did to Saul. But Peter stands there. He met a resurrected Jesus, all the holes in his hand. And he's thinking, my gosh, we're going to build a church. Jesus says, wait, go to the upper room. And the guys are standing. They don't know how long they're going to be. And they pray. And they're asking God. And they're hanging out together. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes. Power of God comes. I don't think you can do anything effectively that lasts the longevity without the power of God. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit brings the power of God, not our own thing. And the power of God comes upon Peter. And in the very place that they were hunting him down and wanting to kill him, he walks out of that room, down the stairs, into the courtyard. And he stands up and he preaches a word to thousands of people who respond. And he preaches with revelation and with understanding and with wisdom and with a heart changed. Who taught him all that stuff in that short time? The Holy Spirit. This morning, I believe, in this moment, we're going to sing in a moment together. And if you don't want to sing, that's absolutely fine. If you want to sit and just spend some time quietly before the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to teach you things and remind you of things that some of us have forgotten, but some of us don't know. Because he wants to reveal Jesus to us even more so. Because when he does that and our hearts shift again, oh, we can't help but respond in worship. John 14 says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word and my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home in him. Verse 26, and the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. John 16, 13 to 15, when the Spirit of truth comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. For he'll not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. The Father's heart today, God the Father's heart today, is to connect to his children. He wants to connect to you. Not communicate, connect. Everyone communicates, few connect. We can all chuck stuff out on Facebook. Everybody's saying something about something. You know? But he wants to connect today. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth today to you. Truth of who God really is. I can preach about who he is. I can offer you ways now in how to respond in worship. I can say you can stand, you can sit, you can raise your hands, you can clap, you can nod, you can walk out, you can do whatever you like. You're free people. I'm not here to control you. That's not going to get anything. Control doesn't connect hearts. Relationship connects hearts. God's not here to control anybody. You can't, love is not controlling. It's a response. I choose. I choose. God's a gentleman. He's strong sometimes and reminds us, those who believe, saying, come on, there's some stuff we need to sort out. Why? Because he loves you. Kath said it last week. One day in heaven, our worship services will be absolutely perfect. Those of you who came today and thought, it's a bit loud, it'll be perfect. Those of you who came today and thought, I'm not sure I like the keys, don't worry, it'll be perfect. Those of you who came today and said, I prefer not to stand in rows, it'll be absolutely perfect. Because we'll worry less about peripherals, we'll have our eyes on Jesus. No? This morning, some of us will walk out and go, how was the worship this morning? Yeah, it's good. That's not the real question, is it? The real thing is about our hearts this morning and how we respond. We all have different likenesses. I like the drums. I like it loud. I want to feel it thud all the way through me. You know? Like I wanted that song, Gloria Estefan, the rhythm's going to get you. You know, I want it to get me kind of thing. But other people like it solemn and quiet. And that's why there's such an incredible array of churches with different expressions of worship, from the organ to nothing, to the harp, to a full worship team, to whatever. Isn't it fantastic? Not everything suits everybody. It's okay. It's cool. The other night we worshiped just with a guitar. Then the night after that we worshiped just with YouTube. I mean, have you ever seen a bunch of people worshiping to YouTube? Doesn't, you know? But actually, the essence of worship is not just us singing. It's our expression of our lives. And he wants to know your heart. He wants you to know him. We can even model it to each other. But worship is a heart revealer. It shows us where our priority is. It shows us where we put our resources. It shows us where we put our energy. Here's the key. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We don't get to see Jesus in the flesh. We can pray. We can pray to the Father. But Jesus said, I'll send my Holy Spirit. And he'll come. And he'll be with you here. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. Think, where is he? The Bible says he dwells in our hearts, those of us who accepted Jesus. And you know that. But he also is in us, around us in this moment. And if you would but just say, okay, I'm going to surrender myself to this moment, he wants to reveal himself to you. I thought to myself, how do we respond? I don't know. I can't tell you how to respond. But I think we got to respond. And so I'm going to pray this prayer. And we're going to stand and we're just going to worship for but a few minutes. At the end of that, we're going to have some tea and coffee and cake and celebrate. And this may take 2 minutes, it may take 5 minutes. I don't know. But Father, I pray right now. I pray that you stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, it's because you want to reveal a greater truth of who Jesus is in this moment. You want to change just our head knowledge into heart revelation. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. To come and touch our lives right now. Won't you stand with me if you would like to? You don't have to. And we're just going to begin to worship. The team will lead. There might be a song, there might not be a song. We don't need a song. But come on, let's just begin to worship him. Ask him for greater revelation. In this moment, you might begin to get distracted thinking about other things. Come on, let's put our minds and fix them on him. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard. See you soon.